What a gracious God we serve.
It's working now. Text board over there. All right, so the title of the day is Guardians Friday, and you will see as we go into the text why this message is entitled that way. So, quick word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you just for your faithfulness, your love for us, Lord, the truth of your word that shares your desire for us to trust you, to rest in you, Lord, to allow your word to penetrate our hearts and to change our lives. And Lord, we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get started. We're going to start at 2 Chronicles 25. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not wholeheartedly. Uh-oh. All right, jumping down to verse 14. After Amaziah came back from the slaughter of the Edomites, he brought the gods of the sons of Seir and set them up to be his gods, bowed down before them and burned incense to them. So the anger of the Lord burned against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said to him, "Why have you desired the gods of the people who did not save their own people from your hand?" As he was talking, the king said to him, "Have we made you the king's counselor? Stop. Why should you be put to death?" Then the prophet stopped and said, "I know that God has decided to destroy you, because you have done this and have ignored my advice." All right, let's go to 2 Chronicles 26. All right, we're going to talk about Amaziah's son, Uzziah. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king Amaziah slept with his fathers in death. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord in accordance with everything that his father Amaziah had done. Uh-oh. That's not good. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought, inquired of, longing for the Lord, God caused him to prosper. In Jerusalem, he made machines of war invented by skillful men to be put on the towers and on the corner battlements for the purpose of shooting arrows and large stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. But when Uzziah became strong, he became so proud of himself and his accomplishments that he acted corruptly. And he was unfaithful and sinned against the Lord his God. Let's pause there for just a second. As humans, we have to be careful when things go well for us. If we're not cognizant of what's going on, we'll begin to pat ourselves on the back. And we'll begin to say that, you know, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty smart. I'm pretty ingenious. And then that becomes, you know, I don't need to rely on God because I'm really smart, you know. So I don't have to depend on him. Okay, again, 16, when Uzziah became strong, he became so proud of himself and his accomplishments that he acted corruptly. And he was unfaithful and sinned against the Lord, his God, for he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. As you know, or if you don't know, only the priests were supposed to burn incense to the Lord. Uzziah was king. It was prohibited for him to do that. Okay, verse 17, then Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, men of courage. They opposed King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God." So at this point, Uzziah had a choice. We talked about choices this morning. We all are faced with choices. When we're presented with something in God's word, what do I do? Do I take it in and say, you know, you're right. I should make a change. Or I can say, you ain't talking to me. I'm big and bad. I can do whatever I want to do. Okay, verse 19, then Uzziah with a censer in his hand to burn incense was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. Because he was so proud, he refused to even accept correction. Guess what? I've been there. It's like, man, you can't tell me anything. Ain't my daddy. And guess what? Some of y'all have been there too. Where someone has come to us and shared some information. It's like, you ain't nobody. You can't tell me to do anything. Leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. As Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked toward him, behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there. And he also hurried to get out because the Lord had stricken him. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And being a leper, he lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And his son Jotham took charge of the king's household, judging and governing the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from the first to the last, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, has written. So Uzziah slept with his fathers in death, and they buried him with his fathers in the burial field of the kings outside the royal tombs, for they said, he is a leper. And his son Jotham became king in his place. Let me go back to verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 26. In Jerusalem, he made machines of war invented by skillful men to be put on the towers and on the corner battlements for the purpose of shooting arrows and large stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong.
Wow.
So, it's a reminder for us in our lives. When things are going well for us, how do we respond to that? You know, how do we deal with that? Do we attribute that to God? Hey, God, thanks. You've done this. And that's why, and I was saying this morning in Power Hour, you know, there are times when adversity, when challenge is good for us, it's necessary because it molds us and shapes us. Again, if we got everything we wanted in life all the time, we'd be a mess. A mess. But it's those challenges, if we acknowledge God in them, where we say, God, I need you. God, thank you. You know, this is your thing. I'm not doing anything. Okay, let's go to 2 Chronicles 32. We're going to take a look at another king. And then we'll take a look at another king. Because there are different ways that kings responded to God's leading. And there are different ways that we can respond to God's leading. Okay, 2 Chronicles 32, starting at verse 20. But Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz prayed about this. And this is, let me read. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed every brave warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. So the king returned to his own land in shame. And when he entered the house temple of his God, some of his own children killed him there with the sword. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others. And he gave them rest on every side. And many brought gifts to the Lord at Jerusalem and valuable presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah. So from then on, he was exalted in the sight of all nations. In those days, Hezekiah became terminally ill, and he prayed to the Lord, and he answered him and gave him a miraculous sign. But Hezekiah did nothing for the Lord in return for the benefit bestowed on him, because his heart had become proud. Oh,
yeah.
Therefore, God's wrath came on him and on Judah and on Jerusalem. But, however, Hezekiah humbled his proud heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. so that the wrath of the Lord did not come on them during the days of Hezekiah. Now, that's the way to respond. Now, ideally, we should try to avoid pride to begin with. But when and if it does come, and then we recognize that, it's like, oh, oops, sorry, God, no, this is your business. All right, verse 27. Now Hezekiah had immense wealth and honor, and he made for himself treasuries for silver, gold, precious stones, spices, shields, and all kinds of delightful articles, and storehouses for the produce of grain, new wine, and olive oil, and stalls for all kinds of cattle and sheep, folds for the flocks. Moreover, he made cities for himself and acquired an abundance of flocks and herds, for God gave him very many possessions. The same Hezekiah also stopped up the upper outlet of the waters of Gihon and channeled them down to the west side of the city of David. Hezekiah succeeded in everything that he did. And so in the matter of the envoys of the rulers of Babylon who were sent to him to inquire about the wonder that had happened in the land, God left him alone only to test him in order to know everything that was in his heart. Interesting. You know, when you think about it, here's one question for all of us. What if God's word was still being written today about me? What would it say? And we go back to Amaziah and his son Uzziah. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not wholeheartedly. What would it say about me? Willie was 48 years old, looking forward to retirement in 4 years. He did right in the sight of the Lord, or he served God with his whole heart. What would it say about, we can plug our names in there. What would it say? All right, let's go to 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 25. We're looking at another king, Jehoshaphat. Now it happened after this that the Moabites and the Ammonites, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then it was reported to Jehoshaphat, a great multitude has come against you from beyond the Dead Sea, out of Aram, Syria. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set himself determinedly as his vital need to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Ding, ding, ding. Now that's the response. The enemy comes. Jehoshaphat was afraid. He acknowledged that. He said, I can't do this. God, I need you. Verse 4. So the people of Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord, longing for him with all their heart. Do I long for the Lord with all my heart? This morning in our lesson, we talked about, am I a friend of truth? Am I a friend of truth? Do I look to honor God in the way that I live? Verse 5, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand. There is no one able to take a stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? They have lived in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if evil comes on us or the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name and your presence is in this house. And we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear and save us. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from the land of Egypt, for they turned away from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. or God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless against this great multitude which is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Ding, ding, ding. That's it. In our lives, when we're confronted with situations and we're overwhelmed, our response ought to be, God, I don't know what to do. God, I need your help. This is too much for me to handle. You know, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to acknowledge him in everything. In fact, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Do you know how often we lean to our own understanding? Well, let me say myself. I do it a lot. Because truth be told, we think we're pretty smart. We all think we're pretty smart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And that acknowledge is the Hebrew word yada, pep, which is the same word that is used to talk about a union, a sexual union between a husband and wife. In all your ways, know the Lord intimately, and he will direct your path. Because see, sometimes people can take acknowledge, hey, what's up, guy? Let me go on and do my thing. But to say, as Jehoshaphat is doing here, God, I don't know what to do here. I need your help. Verse 13, so all Judah stood before the Lord and their infants, with their infants, their wives, and their children. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. They doing the whole family here. He said, listen carefully, all of you people of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. The Lord says this to you. Do not be not afraid or dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And I think that's what we need to realize. The battle isn't mine. It's not my thing. God allows things to happen in our lives to mold us into the image of Christ. When I then take it upon myself to handle things, we'll have some trouble. But when I say, when I acknowledge, God, this is yours. You all have heard me say this many times. All of us face challenges in life. All of us face things that are hurtful and painful and are uncomfortable and frustrating. But I'm learning that God is using those things to do this. Because we got some rough edges. We have some pride. We have some stubbornness. Verse 16, go down against them tomorrow. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the river valley, in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Take your position. Stand and witness the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping him. The Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. So they got up early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe and trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established, secure. Believe and trust in his prophets and succeed. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in their holy priestly attire. And they went out before the army and said, praise and give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the son of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were struck down in defeat. For the sons of Ammon and Moab, suspecting betrayal, rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and completely destroying them. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the lookout tower of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including equipment, garments, and valuable things which they took for themselves, more than they could carry away, so much that they spent 3 days gathering the spoil. Question: how much fighting did the children of Israel have to do in this battle?
None.
They yielded themselves to God. Jehoshaphat acknowledged, I don't know what to do, and God handled the rest. All right, let's go to James 4. But he gives us more and more grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud and haughty, but continually gives a gift of grace to the humble, who turn away from self-righteousness. All of us deal with some form of pride in whatever area it is. God is opposed to the proud. I don't know about you, but I don't want God to be opposed to me.
Amen.
That self-examination, saying, hey, God, you know my heart. In fact, the next passage, Psalm 119 and 59. I considered my ways and turned my feet to follow and obey your testimonies. How often do I consider my ways in light of God's word? We talked this morning. There has to be a standard that we refer to, and that is the word of God. If I'm living by my own standard, I'm going to consider my ways and say, no, I'm good. I'm all right. I'm better than so-and-so.
Yeah.
But when I look at God's standard and say, I need to make a change. I believe the next verse here, verse 60, says, I made haste and did not delay. It's not something I need to think a whole lot about. Yeah, God, I'm not doing it right, but let me think on it. I considered my ways and turned my feet to follow and obey your testimony. So, again, we all deal with pride. We need to guard against that. The prime way for us to do that is to seek God's word and apply the principles that we see, to say to God, God, I need your help. I'm not thinking about this situation the right way. God, I need you to help me. God, I want to honor you. I love Jesus's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where in situations we are to acknowledge the challenge that we have. Jesus said, I am in agony. I am overwhelmed in the situation. In fact, he's basically said, I don't want to do this. And he didn't just say it once. He didn't just say it twice. He said it 3 times. But he didn't stop there.
Amen.
He said, nevertheless, not my will, but God, your will be done. So, in our struggles and our challenges and our trials, but let's acknowledge those. Let's acknowledge the pain. Let's acknowledge the struggle. Let's also avoid pride and call on God. God, you you have a reason for the situation. I say this a lot in my prayers, God, I don't get it. I don't know what's going on. I don't like it. But God, I know that you're faithful. Let us offer just a second. Think back on the challenges that we faced in our lives. And then think of God's faithfulness in the midst of those challenges. And as I said earlier, if we had gotten everything we prayed for on the spot, we kneel to pray, stand up, and it's done. Every time. We'd be a mess. A mess. But when God draws things out, which then prompts us to call on him, prompts us to say like Jehoshaphat, God, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have this figured out. I don't. God, I'm at a loss. All my solutions are done. I've tried everything I know how to do. It's not working. And I believe God says, that's just where I want you to be. Thank you for this time.